Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can see our blog at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Our guest this evening is Leah Shapiro, former food editor of Mishpacha magazine from 2007 through 2010, currently senior food editor of Ami magazine, and she has a new cookbook coming out sometime around December of this year. Good evening, Leah.
Hi, good evening, and I'm happy to be there.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you first start cooking, or when did you first discover that cooking is something that you would like to do?
Right, so I was the typical picky child who didn't eat anything. My parents tried getting me to eat. I cried. I was always hungry, and, you know, I didn't like anything. I didn't like anything anybody prepared. And really, my grandmother, my mother, everybody's fabulous cooks. So it, even they're Hungarian, and it bothered them a lot more that I was, like, skinny and I didn't eat. So I think when I turned about eight, my grandmother, I used to go into the kitchen a little bit and help out my grandmothers and my mother. And then when I was about 11, I think my mother one day said, listen, if you're going to learn to cook and you're going to prepare your own food, you're going to see that, you know, it's not dirty and it's not, you know, there's not pieces stuck on it, and you'll start eating it. And that's exactly what happened. You know, if I liked French fries, and my mother was showing me, look, this is how you make French fries, and really it's potatoes, so maybe you might like mashed potatoes too. So I really started cooking, I think, when I was about 12, 13, and, you know, I was always trying out recipes. But I was still quite picky. Like, you know, I had to have separate plates. The meat was on one plate and the side dish was on the other plate. I think I stopped that when I got married. I was a little embarrassed on my husband. But that's when I really discovered that I love food. And, you know, my father's in the spices business also, so I would go down to my father's company and I would, like, smell the spices and taste, and, you know, they would make believe like they're listening to me, what I thought about the spices. So really, like, my whole childhood was about food. And then I got married. I lived in Israel, and an organization asked us to raise some money. And since I loved recipes and food so much, I thought we came up with the concept of putting together a community cookbook with recipes. And it was supposed to be like 100 recipes. We're going to make a little booklet. But it turned into 400 recipes, and Feldheim published it. And it's called The Silver Spoon. So that was, you know, there's loads of mistakes in that cookbook, but it was really meant as has great recipes, because it's like, you know, all your friends and neighbors' recipes. And after that, I started working
with Shaka. Two of my daughter-in-laws used that book.
Right, it's a really popular book.
They're both superb cooks, yes.
Yeah. And no, it's a real popular book, because it has great recipes in there. It doesn't really have much photos, but it's really like, you know, 400 fabulous recipes that people that gave their favorite recipes for the book.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly was your involvement in that book?
Well, I put together the whole project.
I'm sure you gave some recipes. Ah,
I gave about 50 recipes. And I ran the whole thing with a girl named Devaya Ginsberg. We put together everything. We got all the recipes. We got everybody to convince them. We typed it up. We had a very low budget. I laid out the whole cookbook. We edited it ourselves, and we did it from the beginning to end.
Very good. Now, you have a cookbook coming out. Let me ask you. With all the plethora of Jewish cookbooks, do we need another one? What is so special about your book?
Right, right. I agree. I have, you know, 50 cookbooks, and, you know, but I still buy new cookbooks. So I think the difference about this cookbook is that it's very much geared to very easy, everyday recipes. You know, but not recipes that you use like cans and dump together three cans. I really like to use fresh ingredients, and it's fun recipes. It's recipes that, you know, most kids like. They're the type of recipes that you don't have to go look for any ingredients. You should have, you will have most of the ingredients in your house. And it's basically what my column was that I was writing, which I'm writing for the past 4 years. It's a large percentage of those recipes plus lots and lots of new ones. But that's basically what my column is all about. You know, today we're in the mood of making a great supper. Tomorrow maybe we'll make a nice dessert. But it's always easy, you know, try to keep, you know, ingredients to a minimum. You know, I hate long instructions. I feel like I won't make a recipe if there's long instructions. And I have four kids. I don't have time to start going to six supermarkets to buy ingredients. So if it's all in my pantry, I'll make it. And that's basically what the recipes are. And the response of where I write my column for the past 4 years, people are always like, oh, you know, Leah, it's very... I got the magazine on Thursday. I made it that day. And that's what the cookbook hopefully will be like.
In other words, it's going to be easy recipes for everyday living, I guess, right?
Right, but not the type of recipes that you're going to dump lots of pre-made things. You know, it's going to be great suppers, great side dishes, you know, things you can make every day, but you can also make them during the holidays. So, you know, a little more sophisticated. Basically, a lot of the recipes are twists on the old versions. Like, you might have served rice now, so I'm giving you now four different types of rice to make that are jazz it up a bit, but are not still too unusual that, you know.
Let me ask you one question. How many recipes are there going to be approximately in the new book?
That's a good question. Well, I think I'm only allowed... like 360 pages in the book. So we're skimming it down and we're picking the best about 200 recipes. All the recipes have beautiful photos next to it, which also I have a photographer that does the photos, but I just plate the food. So it's not one of these things that you're going to look at and say like, oh, there's some, you know, food stylist making it. It's really, you'll be able to make it exactly the way it looks.
Well, I've seen the photography on your website on cookkosher.com. And it's very, very, the photography, the presentation of the food is very, very nicely done. Just looking at the photography, I want to reach in there and grab it.
Right, my photographer is Dan Ngaro. And I just, you know, I put out the food. It's not, you know, all the food is real. We never have fake food. It's, the day of my photo shoot, I like to cook the food fresh. It should look exactly the way it will look.
Well, especially with today's digital cameras, that's easy to do. When I started out doing food photography in Eretz Yisrael in the 70s, with the hot lights that we had, you could not use real food. If I wanted to take ice cream, by the time everything was ready, the ice cream was already melted.
Right. Actually,
Same thing with a few other foods.
I loved watching my photographer so much that I splurged. I bought myself an SLR camera, and I've been reading for the last 3 years everything there is to know about it. And today, we just posted this afternoon a fabulous food photography blog on Cook Kosher. You can go on to Cook Kosher and go straight to the blog. It'll be the first one today. We had it done by somebody, Jasmine Guetta. She's Italian. She's from Italy. And she, I couldn't really read her blog, only reading it by Google Translate. I don't read Italian. But her photos are so beautiful, and she gave us a tutorial on the blog, and it's really, really nice. And it's really like today, you get a nice, you know, decent camera, almost anyone can take great food pictures.
Absolutely. Now, I am looking at that blog as we speak. It's a nice shot, the opening shot.
And right, and she breaks it down.
Explain
she breaks
how you
down
set
really,
it up
really
and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read some of her tips, and I've taken some pictures. I posted 2 weeks ago a picture of a burger on my Facebook page, on our Facebook fan page, and it looks really good. I keep on looking at the photo saying, I can't believe I took this photo. But if you really follow these basic little guidelines, your photography improves greatly.
Oh, absolutely. There are two secrets as far as I'm concerned to food photography. First, whenever possible, use natural light, daylight if at all possible. And second, get relatively close. Just because it's set on a beautiful table and it's sitting in the center, I don't have to see the whole table and the tiny little thing that is supposed to represent the dish you want to show me. I want to get as much of the dish on that photo as humanly possible.
Right. When we take the photos the day of the shoot, like, you know, I always, right, yeah, everybody's always into props and everything. We always say, what is the focus? The focus is the burger, not the fries on the side, not the beautiful tablecloth you got, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
now,
but there's a lot of bloggers. A lot of Jewish bloggers are taking beautiful photos also these days. Everybody really
absolutely.
Really
people
doing a nice
are
job.
Getting much more. People are becoming much more aware of A, the possibilities of the digital camera. B, what it is that you're really shooting. They're more focused
right.
on what they're shooting. Now, going back to food, how many years did you put into this cookbook?
It's basically the last, 2 years, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The cookbook, like you said, you asked us why people put out cookbooks. Really, I didn't need to put out the cookbook. My real, true, love right now is my website, Cook Kosher. I really put out the cookbook because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people kept on asking me, So when I want to have a lot of your recipes together, give me them, not every second week writing an article or every third week and then have to tear it out. So that's really, I did it a lot for the readers that read the magazine and, to put it all together. But really what I put in the last years was really I was working on the website.
I understand. Now, during all your years in cooking, during all your time as magazine food editor, are there any interesting anecdotes you care to share with our audience?
Right. So I have a flight of, I love fresh food, and I love lots of vegetables and salads, but I also have an addiction. I really like junk food. I love street food. I love going to Israel and getting falafels in the street and eating them hot right there. I like Chinese. I like pastrami sandwiches. I like lots of junk food. So a lot of times, I go somewhere and I come home and I say, they make it, must probably way more fattening or so many preservatives. I'm going to make it at home. So one day I put in the magazine a recipe for an onion blossom. Some people call it an onion, a blooming onion, or I think there's a couple of other names for it. And it's pure. It's basically an onion dipped in a batter, and it opens, you slice it up so it opens up nicely like a flower, and then you deep fry it, and it's delicious. It's real junk food, but it's really delicious. So I decided that I'm going to recreate it at home, and I made like a real good beer batter, so it had like that nice like fluffiness to the batter. And then it got crispy when you fried it, and I served it with like a mustard, like a slightly spicy mustard sauce. And I was very excited with my recipe, and I published it in the cookbook, in the magazine. I wrote an article about cooking with beer, and this fared perfectly. And I wrote in my introduction that, you go out and you can buy this appetizer, it costs $5-$6. And that's like a waste of money. It's an onion with a little, batter. Here, I'm going to teach you how to make it so simply and, delicious at home. And everybody was like, oh, that's so nice. It's nice to, you go out to eat and then you can make it at home. And then one lady sent me a letter, like quite a very nasty, strong email she wrote, that this is junk food and it belongs in the stores. And what's the point of saving money when it's not healthy anyway, So I was reading, and then I get to the end of the letter and she writes, I'm a nutritionist. I'd like to write recipes for you, So I had a good laugh. I was like, you want to write recipes, don't go bash the editor for her nice, junk food. And I wrote, it's not a thing you should eat every day, but if you're going to eat it,
The fact is, while most of us today are very much aware of what is healthy and what is junk food, I have hardly ever met anybody. In fact, I have never met anybody who did not knowingly engage in eating some junk food just because it tastes good every once in a while.
Right. I think everything is good in moderation,
Right. The inner child needs that junk food. It's comfort food, for God's sake.
Right. Well, I think, I'm not advocating for making onion blossoms and a daily supper, but it's a fun thing, and if you're getting together with family and you want to make something fun, then it's a great recipe, so, And I don't mind. I didn't mind that the lady wrote a letter. I just had a good laugh at the end when she wants to write recipes, you know. It had to be two separate emails, one to bash it and one to send her recipes and say that she wants to write healthy recipes.
Any other funny stories?
Well, sometimes I have, you know, that I sit around like at a wedding or something, and some ladies are talking about the magazine, and you know, one lady says, "I really, you know, I like this week's recipes," or the next lady says, "Well, you know, one of the recipes I really did not like," and I'm, and you know, then I start listening, and I'm like, "Yes, whose recipe?" She says, "I don't know. I saw somebody, Leah Shapiro." I'm like, "Oh, so you like her recipes?" So from then, you know, and she, and everybody else at the table knows who I am, so they're having a good laugh. And the lady's like, "I usually do, but this week I did not understand why she wrote about, you know, let's say apples, and it didn't match or whatever, you know." So I always have a good kick out of that. I think it's like, you know, people think
well,
that sometimes these food.
Of course, there is no way you're going to please everybody. No matter how hard you work, there is always going to be somebody who is going to dislike something. I think that's
right.
Human nature.
Right. Now, I always get a kick out of the fact that some people think that, you know, that that the food writers don't test their recipes, or, you know, that the photo is not really the photo of the food. And then they meet, and then you meet the person, you know, and they tried it out 5 times. They had it tested. They made sure that it tastes perfectly well, you know, that everything works, and it works in different kitchens, because at the end of the day, it reflects on who the food writer is. So I would never publish a recipe that wasn't tested, you know, really well three, four times. And they're sort of shocked, like, "Oh, wow, really? That, you know, you really make sure? You don't just, like, copy the recipe from the internet and then put a picture next to it, you know?"
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about your website.
Yes, on, my favorite.
Your favorite subject, yes.
Yes.
And I see that you've been doing this since December 2010.
Right. Well, let's start like that. In 2004.
Mm-hmm. That's when you got the domain name.
Right, that's when I bought my domain name. I was quite addicted to a lot of food sites. You know, I put up my recipes. I tried out other people's recipes. It was before I was writing professionally as a writer. And I was quite addicted to it. I had my usernames, and I was, you know, I had all these, like, foodie friends. And I really dreamt of such a place where it would just be kosher recipes. Like, sometimes I would be making, let's say, a sheva brachos or something, or I wanted something for Friday night meal. Let's say a chicken that would rewarm well. And they didn't get what I needed in my life, you know. If I'm looking for something to replace challah for Shabbos day, you know, like, they don't understand what I need really to, you know. So if I would ask in the community, they didn't, I would, like, try to explain what I'm looking for, a dish that should be hot in a crock pot, you know. So I dreamt that there should be a place where you can, you know, only find kosher recipes. You don't have to sift through. You don't have to look at hundreds of chicken recipes, and half of them you can't make. You're not in the mood of trying to make them into kosher recipes. I have a brother. He's more the tech person. He wrote his first program when he was 11 years old. So I told him about this, and he's like, I told him a few times, you know, I wish I had such a community, just kosher recipes. So one day he's like, "All right, okay, I'll help you do it." So we bought bought the domain name in 2004. I was looking for kosher, the word kosher first, but that wasn't available, so we got Kosher, which I thought today I think is a great name. And we kept on saying we're going to do it. But in 2004, it was really expensive to do what we wanted to do. If you visit our website, we have a very sophisticated search engine, which is, you know, we have our sign that was still improving, because it's going to take another couple of weeks to finish tweaking it, but it works really well right now, that you can put in a recipe and say, you know, "I want par recipes, I want meat recipes, I want recipes only from this member that are main dishes. I want a recipe that does not have soy sauce, that's a chicken." And you can really put that in, sort of, and press submit, and that will show you whatever recipes there are. And all the rest of what's great also, what I envisioned, and that's what's happening in the website, is that I didn't want the website to be about the, you know, professional cooks. I want to, you know, the end of the day, people like getting recipes from their mother, from their sister, from their friends. They sort of trust that. So that's what the cook-off is about. It's like it's a community where really you're trusting as if it's
not only that. The fact is that you don't have to be a big professional. You don't have to be a graduate of CIA or a Johnson Wales in order to be a great cook.
Right. No,
the majority of home cooks are superb cooks without ever having gone to any of those schools. They learn the hard way.
I never went to school either. And most of the cookbook writers didn't go to school in the Jewish market, and also in the secular world too. And also the great thing is that you can rate a recipe. So if you don't like a recipe, it didn't work out for you, you can give it 2 stars and explain why it didn't go for you. And you know, I always tell people, don't be embarrassed to write a bad rating. It was a bad recipe. You know, the writer will make sure that the next recipe she puts in will be either clearer or you know, she'll double check her recipe. So that's what, so that was in 2004. And, you know, every year we would go, we renewed our name, we would, you know, talk about it and, you know, and then finally, in 2010, we said it's either now or never. And the prices did drop dramatically on building the type of website that we wanted. There's,
right.
You know, greater competition, and there's a lot more websites out there, so there's a lot more choices. And
there's also a lot more technology that was not available in 2004.
Right.
Or at least not
right.
at normal prices.
Right, right. You see, in 2004, I used to go to Recipe Czar, which today is called Food.com. One day I wrote them an email that I liked their program, their software that they wrote for it. So would they consider selling it to me? You know, just they can keep their website. They should just sell that
right.
what they want. They should just sell me the software. So they answered me, no, they're not interested, you know. And then about a year later, or maybe even 9 months later, they sold their website. It can't be 9 months later. I think it was about 2 years later. They sold the website for $25 million to the company.
Which I got a strong feeling you probably would not have been able to pay that for the software.
No, not really. But they gave up all the rights. I didn't ask them to give up all the rights. I said they can keep everything. They should just give me, like, the same exact thing. And, you know, I even told them they can sell me their older version. So they got paid $25 million for their website from Scripps. And now I understand why they didn't want to sell it to me.
Absolutely makes sense. Okay, now, you say in one of the introductions that I read, you said that your brother was the only real critic you had. Your husband liked everything you made, or so he said. So
right,
how did that work?
Well, he's, you know, I guess maybe my brothers are more, we were all into food growing up. So, you know, they have maybe finer taste. They care more, you know, they think it's more, you know, my husband is like, it's good food. Everything's good. It doesn't make a difference. Bake it 10 minutes longer or 10 minutes less. Like I was developing this recipe, these ice cream cups. And, you know, if I baked it 9 minutes, it was a little more caramel. If I baked it 10, it was slightly crispier, or 11, it was even more. So I wasn't sure, like, how long to bake it. And he would come over Friday afternoon, and he loved to taste my food. And he would sit there, and I had, like, 3 versions. And this was all back in 2003 and 2004, before I was writing. And he would, he tasted, and he said, all right, I like the middle version, or, you know, the first one, I can't even remember today. And because my husband said, oh, they're all 3 good, you know. So, you know, even though he can't cook, he really likes good food also.
Also, you are in Lakewood, where there are quite a few very, very good cooks and food bloggers. Like, for example, Sarah Lasry, who wrote a couple of books, used to have a restaurant. And
right,
I see that
Sarah
you're featuring her site on your pages.
Right. I know Sarah for a long time already. Also, Ordinary Blogger. She's also, I think, from Lakewood, Rifki Locker.
What's her name?
She has a blog, Ordinary Blogger, she calls herself.
Hmm. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, she has nice recipes. Healthy, but really nice.
Now, aside from the fact that basically what you intend is for your site to become the encyclopedia of kosher recipes.
Right, which is going to be user-generated.
Right. How, in other, it's going to be the Wikipedia of kosher recipes, basically. All user-generated.
Well, I like to call it a large virtual cookbook.
Now, how does it differ from other cookbooks, aside from the encyclopedic size that you envision for it, but how does it differ from other collections of recipes on the web?
Okay, so really I think it's the only kosher recipe site that you can, that's sort of interactive. You can rate recipes. It's the only kosher recipe site that I know for a fact that has a sophisticated search bar where you can, ask for recipes that, have certain ingredients or don't, or, could be made under 20 minutes, and you can really, the sky's the limit. You can really put in anything you want. You can use, you want a dessert that's not frozen, or, you can really play around a lot. That is the only kosher website.
And I see that so far it's got over 1,000 recipes.
Right. And right now, right, and we're very open about, you always see exactly how many recipes there are. And, if I want, I can go put up 400, but that's not the point of the website. The website is about, users putting up, and we have some people that put up 80 recipes, some people put up one recipe. Right now, actually, if you post a recipe, you get a chance, until September 2nd, you get a chance to win. We're getting three winners, three cookbooks. One is Kosher Elegance, one is Enlightened Kosher Cooking, and the other one is going to be... And the other one I'm going to give out is the Silver Spoon.
Very nice. Now, we have exactly 2.5 minutes left. What are your what parting thoughts do you have for the audience as far as where Jewish cooking is going? It is no longer just brisket, obviously.
I like to say that Jews cook during the week one way and Shabbos we cook a different way,
Absolutely.
I think the future is the internet. I think that's at the end of the day. Today everybody has iPads and iPhones and Blackberries, and it's very easy on an iPhone to see your recipes. So, instead of people pulling out their cookbooks, they can just, they're in the kitchen, they pull out their iPhone and they can go directly, they can sign in, and it's really easy, and just go directly to my kitchen, which would be their virtual kitchen, and go directly to their recipe. And we're constantly updating. We're going to be having great printing options and all different options that if you do want to print it. But really, I think the future is on the website. I have people that tell me that they stop giving their friends recipes. They say, listen, it's right on Cook Kosher. Just go there and you can see the recipe. Well, they don't have to repeat every ingredient every time and say, okay, are you writing it down? 1 teaspoon sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, So I think that is the future of today's recipes. And, if it's online, it's never going to get, lost. And, you can travel across the ocean and you want a salad recipe to make, you'll have it.
And there are also quite a few cookbook applications for Android phones, for the i4. Like one of my favorites is one produced by an Israeli journalist, Ofer Vardi. And that one is going paprikash, which is all the recipes of his grandmother, his Hungarian grandmother.
Right, but that's only
his recipe. Very interesting little application. What?
That's only his, right, and it's a great application. It's only his recipes. What we envision for kosher
is your grandmother's recipes, about 120 recipes.
Right, I've seen it. Right. So this is the same idea, but you don't have to just have your recipes. And, going mm-hmm. paprikash, you have to put it all together over here. This doesn't cost anyone. It's free to go and put all the recipes up.
Right.
And, So you can put up your own recipes, and you can also start, you know, you can also save other people's recipes that you like to your kitchen. So anytime you ever want to pull that up, it's going to be very easy.
Okay, very good. And we want to thank you. We
thank
love
you for having
the website. And we would like to have you again on the show. As the website gets better, as you want to make any special announcements, or as your
definitely
book comes out, Bezrat
Hashem. Will.
Okay. Thank you very,
right,
very much. You've been a wonderful guest.
My pleasure.
And
thanks for having me.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back next week with David Mintz from the Tufuri Company. Thank you very much, and we'll see you right here, same place, at 8 o'clock, Wednesday the 31st, with David Mintz. Thank you, one and all.